The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening, everyone. How are you doing? You're very great. Some of you look tired a bit. It's been a whole day. But you're ready for the word, right? So let's do this. See if you can walk around and say something nice to someone you've never met before. Someone you've never, maybe you've been seeing the person, or you've never met the person. Say, good evening, my name is this is who I am, and it feels so good to see you, and to talk with you. So, make a new friend. Male, female. Someone you've been looking at and you just want to talk to the person. So, this is a good time. So, if you're following us online, see if you can say hi to someone on the comment section. Someone else following with you, so that you can participate fully on YouTube and on Facebook alike. Hallelujah. If you are done, you can have your seat. Praise God. Ready for the word. You know, like I said in the morning, Singles Connect is actually not, as it were, a relationship meeting. Right? But we talk relationship here. The whole idea behind it is we're trying to address things that concern singles. You see, singlehood is a stage in life. It's not a cause. It's not a problem. It's just a stage. Right? Just like there is singlehood, there is married, it's just a stage. And so there is nothing wrong with you because you are single. And some of you, that's the first deliverance you need today. But there are people that are just breaking their head, and I kid you not, I speak to some young ladies, you know, and they are bothered that they are single. And I'm not talking about the fact that some of them maybe are of age and they want to get married. Well, it's a genuine desire. But there are just young, some years, you see, and they're concerned. There's nobody in my life, nobody to talk to, nobody to say hi to. Why are you concerned about that? The stage of single is just a stage, like every other stage. It's a phase. So it doesn't mean something is wrong with you if you are not married yet. I know we catch a lot of crews here. We play a lot. We, you know, we try to yap people and play with people, tease people. You're not married. But listen to me. Nothing is wrong with you. The only thing that will be wrong with you is if you do not maximize this singlehood stage very well. When you eventually get married, it will show. You know, marriage is something that is a blessing. Take nothing away from it. Marriage is a blessing. But marriage places some kind of limitation on you. Now, whether you know it or not, that's the truth. For instance, one of those limitations is that people who are married are not in this program. They can follow it from home, but they're not here. But then, jokes apart, it places some sort of limitation on you. And it's not just me saying it. The Bible said it. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul actually teaches that it's normal that you should be single. Are you aware? Let me show you 1 Corinthians 7. Paul, when I was not reading that letter, I asked myself, did I do well by getting married? But when I look at the privilege of marriage, me too, I don't want to change my mind. So 1 Corinthians 7, from verse, where do we start from? So that you can see this. verse 12. Okay, verse 17. Wait, I'm trying to see where we start. I wanted to read the whole chapter. But let's just see 17 with NLT. Now, watch. It says, each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were when God first called you. You know, when you read remain as you were when God first called you, you think he's talking about your physical state. You will see, find out he's talking about marriage. So you will see verse 18. Quickly, just verse 18. He said, for instance, a man who was circumcised before he became a believer should not try to reverse it. The man who was circumcised when he became a believer should not be circumcised now. That's clear. For it makes no difference whether or not a man has been circumcised. The important thing is to keep God's commandment. Verse 20. Yes, each of you should remain as you were when God called you. As are you a slave, don't let that worry you. But if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord. And if you are free when the Lord called you, you are now a slave in Christ, a slave of Christ. God paid a high price for you, so don't get enslaved by the world. Each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain, he's making that statement again, should remain as you were when God first called you. Now, regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, you see how you built up to that conversation. He said, I do not have a command from the Lord for them. So Paul is very clear. He's not saying, thus says the Lord. He said, but the Lord in his mercy has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Do you want to hear Paul's wisdom? Because of the present crisis, I think it is better to remain as you are. And who was he talking to the previous verse? Go to the previous verse. Previous verse. Regarding your question about young women who are not yet married, what did he say in the next verse? Remain as you are. Who wants to take this counsel this evening? Okay, let's see. He said, because of the present crisis. He said, if you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. Praise God. But if you do get married, it is not a sin. This is the line that blessed me. That's why I got married. If you do get married, it is not a sin. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time, we have troubles. And I'm trying to spare you those problems. Are you still here? But let me say this, brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus all on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possession. Verse 31. Okay? Those who use things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world, as we know it, will soon pass away. Now, I want you to be free from the concerns of life. Look at this point. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. Now, Paul is not saying you should not get married, but he's trying to show you that whether single or married, if you're married, you must live in a certain way. If you're single, you must not live in a certain way. If you are single, there are some privileges that you have. One of it is what it's showing you. Freedom and liberty to serve the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean if you are married, you cannot serve the Lord. But I can tell you freely, there are many things that if I have to do now, I'll have to take permission from my wife. Are you aware? If I decide to do a 21 days fast, it's 21 days fast. And that fast will demand praying all night for 21 days. Eating only a little. I've done that a lot of time. Not just, I've done that for 2 months. Not like dry fast, like eating in the day. Maybe I fast from morning, 6 o'clock, you eat something light. Then at night, you just pray through like that. If you want to try that as a married man, I'm not saying you should not do that. But you must now take permission from your wife. Why? To start with, she's cooking for you. You have to tell her, hey, babe, 21 days, this you're cooking, I will not be eating. And then you want to pray from 7 to 6 a.m. every day for 2 months. You really have to talk to that woman. And she has the power to say no. And she will not be a witch. I feel what I'm saying.
So you notice at the end of the day, there are things that definitely, and I'm not saying I don't pray now, but I'm saying there are things that you can't just freely do. Talk about ministry. Talk about your devotion and all of that. So I'm not saying marriage stops anything. But whether you like it or not, there are privileges of singlehood. He says, how do you know? I've been single. Now I'm married. I recommend marriage. But there are privileges of singlehood. Praise God. He said, look at this. He said, an unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and think how to please him. Continue. But a married man has to think about his daily responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibility. Think about this. There's a woman in the Bible called Anna. Do you remember her? Who stayed in the temple every day and was praying every day until Jesus came for years, over 50 years. If she was married, but she was widowed after 7 years. If she was still married, she can never do that. God cannot even commit that into her hands. Because if God asks her to do that, God is asking her to jeopardize her marriage. My point is, there are things that God can ask you to do now, that when you are married, he might not ask you to do again. And that's the truth. Which is why the pressure to get married robs people of their opportunity to enjoy their single days. I don't do that. So I'm not trying to say you shouldn't get married. I just want to deliver some people who are under pressure. You want to, some people that you don't even meet in relationships now. But there is that pressure. Let me be talking to someone. Who am I talking to? Why is nobody talking to me? Why is nobody saying hi to me? I just want to talk to somebody. Hello, hi. That's a problem. You just want to be with somebody. That pressure is not necessary. I'm going to say some things today that you may not like, or you may like, but you will eventually find out that I'm right. So we want to discuss these things. Singlehood is a stage, and there's nothing wrong with being single, at least at a certain point in your life. Of course, when you get to a point where you now think, I think I'm ready for marriage, you cannot begin to pray, it's okay to get married too. But my point is, when you are single at this stage, nothing is wrong with you. Now, so we're going to have some difficult conversations this evening. And mom already started it out. Were you blessed by that? Issues around breakup. Very important subject. It's something people don't like talking about. But, of course, she started by letting you know, for instance, that we don't enter relationships to break up. But then, the fact that that's not the reason doesn't mean it's not the reality. People break up in church. I get to the point. But because we're not having those conversations, it messes things up. Some break up, they leave the church. Some break up, and their spiritual life goes down. That is the way to. And she took you through three things. Very powerful. She first showed you why some good reasons to break up. You know there are good, you heard those reasons, right? Good reasons to break up. Good reasons. So there are good reasons why a man can break up and a woman can break up. She mentioned, for instance, genotype, health challenges. She mentioned when someone is backsliding. Someone just says, I'm no longer doing this church thing with you guys. I'm done. And you're not married. It's a good point to say, okay, you're not doing this church thing with us again. Me too, I'm not doing this relationship with you. You pack your bag and go. I feel what I'm saying. Those are good reasons to break up. So I took my notes too. She also mentioned infidelity, when there is a repeated case of infidelity. And I'm not just talking about somebody making a mistake. When you are with someone and you find out the person is with A, B, C, D, don't be F. You understand? Don't be F. Just pick up and go. That's a good reason to actually end things. Other things you can add, for instance, violence. In a relationship and they're beating you. That's a good reason to pack up. So yes, we don't enter relationships to break up, but there can be breakups. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's not the aim, but it happened. So she mentioned loss of interest. And that last one, that loss of interest she mentioned is a very serious matter. There are people who, let me tell you this, you're with someone and the person doesn't want you again. Just go. All this praying, all this begging, I'll pray for him. I can change. I will adjust.
And I saw one comedy skit where the girl was begging the guy, I want to teach me how to be the kind of woman you want. And he said, how can I teach you how to be tall and beautiful? Praise God. And that is just trying to say, I'm done. And you should be able to get, I'm done. And you said, be done too. Do you know sometimes when there are breakups, let me tell you what I found about breakups. Most times when there are breakups, and I interact with the couple, I find out most times one person broke up 8 months ago. The other person is breaking up today. Do you know what I'm saying? Have you seen what I'm talking about anyway? One is done in his mind. A girl told me, I left that guy like, we are done, just as I was still talking. Now, do you know the reason? The guy, or one of the five persons lost interest, showed you, said it, mentioned it, but you are still having hope. I've not seen people that have faith like people in relationship. Their faith is just amazing. See, I know, well, it's going through a season. It's going through a phase. Everybody goes through that phase. It's a lie, let me deliver you. Just like mom was saying, sometimes you don't want to hurt your feelings. So, sometimes there's no phase. When you notice loss of interest, have these conversations. Hey, guy, are you done? Let's talk. Like, you no longer want. You say, no, it's not like I no longer want. It's just that, wait, just let's talk. Just tell me. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's better you let me know if you are done. So I'll be done too. When there's loss of interest, it's a good place to just pack up and carry yourself forth, the remaining one, and go. Glory to God. So I'm just taking you through what she told her, and she mentioned how to handle breakups. Very powerful points she mentioned. I will not go over them. But the powerful point she made is, you can't do one without the other. You cannot. Some people, once a relationship ends, how they move on is the first block. You've not forgiven. You are still talking about it, but you've blocked the person. All you did was to cut communication. You are not going to be fine. You just sweep it under the carpet. How you know you've not healed is, see that person 3 months after, or see his wedding picture. You will start feeling like they put pot on fire in your heart. It will begin to boil. You are not fine. So everything she mentioned is not for you to choose one and leave the other. I feel like I'm talking about. Forgive the person. For instance, stop talking about it. Accept the reality. The reality is that it has ended. It's not coming back. Are you getting the point? Accept the reality. Get busy. Get busy with work. Get busy with friends. And it was at this get busy point that she made that point. Because some people, once a relationship break up, the first thing they do is to drown themselves with work. It doesn't mean you've healed. You are still hurting. You've not forgiven. You're still discussing it with your friends, but you're busy working. Nothing has changed. So get busy. What other things she said? Pray. Yeah, very important. Pray. Pray a lot. Pray a lot. And like she rightly said, stop praying for God to fix it. Some people say, what are you doing? I'm praying. That prayer for God to fix it, you are still dwelling on the matter. That's what you don't realize. You spend 3 hours praying for God to fix it. You are still on the matter. Leave it alone. Are you following me? Pray. Just spend your time praying. He says, so what do I pray about? I'll tell you. Pray for lost souls. Pray for sinners to be changed. Pray for saints in church. Just pray. You know, prayer changes you. It's really something that's not about what you're praying about. Because again, if you're praying for God to heal you, somehow you're still on the matter. So pray for God to heal you once in a while. But pray for lost souls. Pray for your pastor. Don't you love your pastor? Pray for your pastor's wife. Pray for people who are perishing. And you will just pray. Because you stay away from prayer, you're going to stay away from your healing. So pray. Cut communications too. Very important. Except we are in the same department in church. We are in the same office where we must talk. Even at that point where we must talk, about what we must talk about. And that's. So all this, if I let me even say it, let me use your terms. Stop looking for closure. What I said? That closure thing doesn't work. Let's just meet and talk about it.
Sometimes you talk about it, you open up all the wounds. Have you not observed? You open up all the wounds. Sometimes, if it was an immoral relationship, you guys get to have sex again. You came to closure. Stop looking for closure. Cut communications. There's nothing to talk about. The end point of this whole thing is that it has ended. Stop asking what happened to us. Nothing. Plan done. So cut communications. Then she mentioned get help. Get the help you need. If you need to. Because sometimes all the things I told you now, you know it. And you are doing it, but you are still not fine. Sometimes you need the presence of someone to just... Sometimes, you know, I've seen people come to my office, practically speaking, heartbroken, shattered. But they just sit down and talk. When they are done talking, they get up from that place, relieved. I've not said anything. Sometimes just talking to the right people, because that's the problem. People don't know who to talk to. You're talking to people. There are even strangers I meet on the road. So that you meet a stranger in the car, you begin to tell you, women, 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 fear women. Like right there in the bus. Have you ever experienced this I'm saying? You are wondering, do I know you? Do we know them? He said, women. A keke driver told me, women. Like, there was nothing that led to the conversation. We are just moving. He just said, women. I said, what's happening? He said, women. Women. Fear women. Every woman on earth, every woman is a witch. Every woman is a devil. I said, okay, what happened? I said, even your mother. I said, even my mother. Even my sister. He was hurting very deeply. And I couldn't help him. Because he wasn't telling me to help him. He was advising me as a younger person. He said, stay away from women. He now told me, if not for children, women are useless. If not for children. He said, if you can, just have children. Leave women. I said, what if you want to give birth? I give it to a woman. Let me tell you. You must know who to talk to, but it must be the right persons. That's why, again, we emphasize the need to have a solid church family. Even if it is not me you are talking to. You can talk to mom, you can talk to somebody, you sometimes your pastor. I can't tell you how many people that have been helped to move on. There are sometimes people have some kind of tough breakup issues. My wife can tell you, and the hurt is so much. We can just say, now, this is not open for everybody. It's just once in a while. Some people are close to us. Sometimes we've had to tell people, just come to our house. And they come and they spend like 1 week. We're not talking about them. They're just hanging around, spending time. Now, I've not seen anybody you see in my house. Came for, please. Now, every time a pastor is coming to church, he's saying, who is he coming with? Ah, this girl is passing through. So please, I'm not saying anybody comes to my house. Glory to God. But sometimes we just have to say, come around. And just by staying in that atmosphere, 3 days, 4 days, the person recovers and moves on. So this kind of helps exist. But the problem is you don't want it. You want to be talking to everybody about it. So deal with breakups very well. Do you know, she said, you have to deal with it before you connect. The point is, if you don't deal with breakups very well, even your next relationship is in danger. That's the point. Because we're going to get to that in my teaching today. For some people are not actually single. But let's leave it. Then she rounded up by showing us how to avoid breakups. That one, I hope you heard it. The end point is to avoid breakups from happening. The end point is not for you to be breaking up and healing. Every time you are healing. Every time we're trying to take you through a healing process. Every time. The end point is that you don't need to be healing. So what did she say? Please don't rush into relationships. If you rush in, you will rush out. It's simple. I kind of feel that when processes are weak, when the entry point is weak, right? People will not value the thing. I'm not just talking about relationship, everything. That's why you want to work in a multinational. You would at least 3 or 4 tests. Have you observed? You first write online. When you are done writing, they do oral, they do physical. After those things, they now say you should come physically. After they ask, invite you back again. You say if you are taking the job very seriously. But imagine how you got the job. It's just that you just saw it online. Somebody posted, job here. And you call, say, I want the job. But they say, come tomorrow. Say, start now. You say, if you don't take the job seriously. You are there, you are still praying for another job because... Now, look at this. That's why someone is working as a sales girl, but the way she got the sales girl job was just very casual. So she just walked in and got it. They've been paying her 80,000. Don't look at me like that. That sales girl's job, they pay up to that, actually. But she will not take it serious. Let that same girl get a job with a bank. She will take it very seriously. You know why? The process the bank puts her through to get the job is making her feel the bank job is something. Some of you that are entrepreneurs, I'm teaching you something very strong, girl. Don't make your job application just like that. Just come, start. They will not take it seriously. And that's the same thing about relationships. The way we rush into it, it's not serious. Meet a guy, back, say, I'm already in love with you. Let's start. That's how it's going to work out. Don't rush into these things. Say you are dating for marriage. You want to marry. So why rushing it? Why rushing it? That's why when I ask people, I tell people, you're going to pray for 3 months. They pick offense. Why are you angry? I thought you want to marry. No rush into it. And she talked about process too. Find the process. Let that be a process to your entry relationship. Your process should be beyond, I meet you on the road, we do talking stage, we start. That's not process. That's weak. Let me tell you, in the olden days, not olden days, but just the past generation before us, you want to ask a girl out. You say, I want to take you out on a date. The girl will say, okay, fine. Come and pick me up at home by 5 p.m. You are coming. She's dressed. You walk in. You meet the father. Father will greet you. How are you doing? Yes. What do you do? He said, I'm a doctor. Oh, doctor. Okay, fine. You are the one taking my daughter out? Yes. Please bring her back early. You take her out. You can't play. You bring her back. You see, that is a process. Today, people enter a relationship and nobody in their life knows that they're in a relationship. You know, some people date, caught, engage, break up, and nobody around them knew it happened. Because it's just between us. Let's keep it secret. Just between us. Most times that people want you to keep your relationship secret, it is because there is something that hiding, there is something or someone that are hiding that relationship from. Now, I'm not saying your relationship should be public, such that you guys are just doing, I love you, and you're posting on WhatsApp status every day. I find that it doesn't make any sense to me. Do you understand? I courted my wife for as not long anyway, but even that short time, you did not see it on my status until I said, I now want to marry. You get the point? I'm not saying you should jump in the bar, but we didn't have a secret relationship. When it was starting, it started under guidance. It progressed to a point, it started under my spiritual father and mom's guidance. The first day we started a relationship, my spiritual mom called us, put us on a conference call, and said, because she had to pray. After praying, she told her, Mom, I'm done praying, and I love him, I want to continue with it. And then he said, okay, I'll call both of you. Remember, call both of you on a conference call, called us, and said, okay, you guys want to call. So they knew what we were doing. It wasn't a secret. Do you know, after all that process, I cannot stand up and say, I'm no more doing. Are you what I'm talking about? It was well, I got to say, sir, it's because you're a pastor. Well, maybe. I'm just telling you my own. Then I got to a time, parents had to know, family had to know. But no, that's not your own. Your own, you guys are secretly in love. Just between us. And keep it to yourself. Because there are many wicked people all over the place. Once we tell them now that we love, they'll come and scatter what we share. And this scope has expired, but it's still working on some people. This scope is old, but it's still working. Praise God. And then she's talked about submitting it. And this one will help you avoid breakups. There are a few of my sons here and daughters who are in relationships who have had challenges that would have caused them to break up. But because that relationship is submitted, we can help. Submitting it means, if you are dating, if you are courting, if there is someone, maybe that you guys are not in this church, but there is someone that your friend holds in high esteem, the person should know about it. Do you understand the point? If there is someone holding high esteem, the person should know about it. If you guys are blessed that it is the same person, both of you holding high esteem, beautiful, the person should know about it. So when you guys, so that because of how you enter the relationship, you cannot also break up without those people. And every good mentor, every good pastor, every good father will try to avoid the breakup. So if there are people I've had to help, there are people I've had to
ask to separate, to pray again, to come back. You get the point. Sometimes you drill. Sometimes that people have had to say, okay, fine. Take this regimen. Take this regimen. Because I've seen they're having issues in their relationship, but it's not a threatening issue. They can cope with it. It can be fixed. So we deal with it. They come back. And some of them are planning to get married today. And those things would have scattered their relationship if there was no proper structure. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So that's really a very good one. I won't believe that blessed you. I just took you through what we said, what we learned. Now, I just took you through my own notes. Right? So you take notes. So that tomorrow, if it, like you said when she ended, if you don't need this, there is someone that will need it. So that if you have this friend, because as I'm preaching, you are remembering somebody. You're remembering this, your friend that has broken up 5 times this year alone. So you can tell, see, I went somewhere. And they told me something about you. Praise God. So I want to do this, bring a simple conversation. I won't call it preaching, right? I titled it, Questions Wise Believers Ask Concerning Relationships. There are questions that wise believers ask. Right? And, you know, concerning relationships, of course, courtship, dating, all of that. So there are questions you must ask, for instance, yourself, before you enter into a relationship. There are questions you must ask the other person. There are questions like that. And let me tell you why you ask these questions. Let me make, there are 3 points I'm going to make. There are things you don't do. There are things that you don't do in courtship and relationship. And that's why you must ask the right questions before you enter. For instance, a relationship or courtship, I'm just using these terms interchangeably, right? I'm using courtship interchangeably relationship because I want you to begin to view every relationship in your life as courtship. I get what I'm saying. The problem is the world has distorted this. So they believe there is talking stage, then there is dating, then there is courtship. That there's a problem with that. Talking stage is, for instance, when we are not in anything, right? So what is dating? When we are in a relationship, right? So what is courtship? When you are planning to get married. So what were you doing when you were dating? Where we have this process, what we are trying to sell to people is, when I'm dating you, nothing sure for you. I get what I'm saying. So I don't like using that term. So when I entered the relationship with my wife, it was true from the day one that we are going to get married. That was the aim. So from that first day, we could tell people we were in courtship from day one. Because people do it like, for now, we are dating. We are not caught. So what are you guys doing? That thing you call dating should have just been you building friendship with a person where you are now sure that there is something there. You can now enter in. So that's why I'm using the word relationship and courtship interchangeably. Because the way the world has modeled this whole thing. And I see, I'm going to say this jokingly. I see people in movies, when they propose to them, they are so happy. They even faint. Have you seen that? You know why? They were not really sure the guy would propose. That's not how it is in the Christian faith. You know, every proposal you see in this church, most times that proposal is coming when they're already planning wedding. Are you aware? When I proposed to my wife, when I proposed to my wife, we're going to go and pay a bride price next week. Because from day one, there was no question of will we or will we not. I get what I'm talking about here. Because we make it look like, let's just be dating. That's why most of these secondary school and university relationships are unnecessary. Because they're just playing. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me? And I'm changing what you believe about relationship. Just believe, let's just be doing for the meantime. Let's now know if we'll marry or not. That in doing for the meantime is not relationship. It's just we are friends. Just build friendship. When you are now sure, you now enter. So when you commit, so you don't get married and you have 15 X. X1, X2, X is Sokoto X, Kaduna X, Abuja X, Lagos. So how many X do you have? Glory to God. Amen. So that when we are looking for the X in your relationship, you should find it easily. It shouldn't take us stress. You didn't get that, just leave it.
Huh? You at least have 2x, 1x in your relationship. We should not find the x and we're using 4 sheets to solve for x because they're too much. After we arrive at 256x. You know, I'm using these numbers jokingly, but I've really seen people. When I was in school, people date and come. There are guys I know that change their girlfriends every time a new first year set comes in. Have you seen this kind of thing? They called it first year rush. When new babes, they say, oh, guy babes, stay school. Oh. And let me even announce to the brothers, stop this rubbish. Oh. Let me even tell you, most of these girls you are looking at in first year in school, Ferubekwa 18 years, they are, most of them are minors. Are you aware? Now, I'm not sure, it's not because, forget all the makeup and all the health. Most of them are minors. You now do, I love, I love, I love. Anything you do with a minor was not consensual. And you will go in for it. Even if the girl is in court testifying, please, I gave in. I told, in fact, it's me that went to his house. Now me first pull clothes. You will go to jail. Because here now, but in school now, 16 years that in school. You that your eye cannot close once you see girl. You just follow. And some of these guys are too wise. But I don't want to get into that part. Because the secondary schools now, by SS1, their eyes have opened. They even dress more than people that are in their 30s. They dress very well. Some of them develop very early. So the boobs is there, the hips is there, everything. With the makeup and everything, and then you are following up and down. You go to jail, oh. You go to jail. Because anything then is rape. Are you following me? I'm sounding this one in very seriously. Because those days in school, and I'm thinking about it now, many people didn't even know the consequences of what they were doing then. Once a new first year set comes in, you are changing girlfriend. Every day. Glory to God. So there are questions you ask before you know, in talking about courtship and relationship. And why you ask these questions is because, for instance, courtship is not, you know, an attempt to change anybody. Because of that, there are questions you must ask before you enter. Because you are not entering courtship to go and change anybody. Please, I want to say that again. You are not entering courtship to go and change anybody. That's why there are things you must ask. You can't say, well, let me enter, I just want to change him. If that's your agenda, courtship is not mentorship. Mentorship is mentorship. Courtship is courtship. Relationship is relationship. It's not mentorship. So, there are things you must ask. But ask yourself and ask the person before you now enter. Because you will not change the person. You will fail at that mission. Another thing you must know, for instance, is that courtship is not an attempt to change who you are. So people say, well, even though it's not, but I'm going to enter and I'm going to change. And you will not change. Which is why there are things you must address before you get in. Are you following me? And let me even add this. Courtship is not an attempt to act marriage. Some people say they're in a relationship, but they're acting marriage. You're in a relationship, you're living together. Person is cooking for you. But if you're having sex, you're doing... So when you're not married, what will you do? So that's why, when I get to this, you'll see, that's what the questions you must ask for you get in. Because we're going to talk about things like, what about the person's values? If the person is someone that thinks, well, I'm going to enter courtship, and my idea of this relationship thing is, you come to my house, weekends, you come, you sit, you cook, we do things. If we get Friday to Sunday or Monday, you now go. If that's that, you have to know very early. So questions you must ask. Questions you must ask before you get in. So let me start by saying, there are 5 questions I want you to ask yourself. Not the other person. Before you think of courtship. Before you think of relationship. Before you think of dating. Let me use that word now. Before you think of anything, ask yourself this question. And answer it. Question number 1. Am I ready? For instance, am I ready to marry? Now that I'm in first year, am I ready now? Second year boy, second year girl, am I ready? Ask yourself, of course, I'm not talking about second year or third year because
just because of school. There are people that might be in their 20s, 26, and are still in second year. So it's not about school, whatever. But ask yourself, are you ready now to marry? With everything you have going on for you in your life, with all the plans you have, you want to do this, and this, are you ready to marry? So if you're not ready to marry, why are you trying to enter a relationship now? So questions I must ask myself, am I ready? With where I am now in my life, with everything going for me, with everything happening around me, am I ready for this now? No doubt some people are, because of age and other things, but some people are not sincerely. And after I'm going to say this, you know, she mentioned it in passing, but let me say it seriously. I don't think, teenagers have no business with relationships. Male or female. You are 18, you are 19. I'm not saying you cannot have feelings. And I'm not saying your feelings are not real. I'm saying you have no business with relationship. In fact, most times when the lady is 20, 21, except you want to marry at 21, it's fine. But if you're a lady who wants to marry at 25, at 26, trust me, if you're 19, if you're 20, you have no business with relationship. I know you don't like this. That's why, because we have to emphasize, I was telling them in the house, I'm planning at the youth conference we have coming up soon, not church now, I mean Champions Foundation. And I told them one of the things I must emphasize, I was teaching that meeting, is this thing I'm talking about. The fact that a secondary school child should not enter a relationship. Now, some of you are saying, let them live their life. Some of you that entered, where is your ancestral love? Do you remember ancestral love? Don't act like you don't know what I'm saying. It's your ancestral love. Did you have love in ancestry? SS2. You did not have. It's a lie. There's no way God packed the same kind of people to this church. You people did this in SS2. You know, I used to have one girl I liked that time. In junior class. I kid you not. Just three. And I look at that girl and I wonder why I liked her. I liked her. And we're talking very well. She was in jail too. I'm not saying those feelings cannot come up in your stomach. I'm just saying you have no business making any commitment that, let's forget relationship. You cannot make, you must be careful about making commitments. Marital commitment, business commitment, that's a heavy commitment to make. And you are too young to be able to, even to choose the course you study in the university, we are still trying to guide you to choose it. And you think you can choose boyfriend? We are still trying to guide you on how to combine your subjects. No, don't do geography, do literature. And you want to choose relationship? No. Praise God. So if you're young, so ask yourself, am I ready? Am I ready? Some of you, by this question, you already have your answer. Number two, am I mature? It's related to the first one, but am I mature enough? And what is maturity, for instance? Am I mature age-wise? Let's start with that. That's why I mentioned this, what I said. Age-wise, am I mature? How old am I? And you know what you guys must realize is that you are not, in most cases, not all the time, but in most cases, you're not the same age with ladies. If you are 22 and the lady is 22, you guys are not age mates. Are you aware? The reason is, not in all, but in most cases, the reason is because at 24, she can tell you she's ready to marry and she'll be right. At 24, brother, you don't even see your left from your right. You are just there. And so, am I mature age-wise? Another maturity talk, maybe, am I mentally mature? So how do I know I'm mentally mature? How do I make my decisions? Can I make my decisions myself? Do I still need my parents to tell me what to do? If I still need my parents to tell me what to do, I am not ready for a relationship. That's what it means. How mature am I with anger management? How mature am I? How mature am I with the use of words? Am I still someone that will say, I don't really care how you feel, I'm going to say my mind and tell you how it is? It means you're not mature with the use of words.
Am I someone that have to apologize every day under the guise of, sorry, I was angry. Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. Now, it means you're not mature. It means you're still lacking some sort of social maturity, emotional intelligence. Are you following me, friends? Other aspects of maturity to ask questions about, am I financially mature? You know there's financial maturity. Financial maturity doesn't mean you'll be a billionaire. But there are few things we can ask you to make a financial mature. For instance, in our head when they are playing the game here, they said, can you stay with a lady that is, how do they even put it? That doesn't have any job. And all of them stayed, Abby. Only Noel stayed. Let me. That's it, they all stayed, yeah. They all stayed. They said they can cope with someone that doesn't have, yes. Now, let me help you. That thing they said is a lie. If your lady here have work, I'm not saying they cannot fall in love with you if you are jobless, but it's a question of time. It may even have a wedding. They are planning wedding. You couldn't say, this serviette they are using for you, let me buy. That's the point. I'm not saying you must be a billionaire, but you must at least have a skill. At least skill. Skill, good. I'm brothers. I'm not saying you should be a billionaire, but please, if you're not emotionally stable, financially stable, just keep your love in your heart and observe. It is true that it is not the job of a man to take care of a lady that he or she is in courtship with. Are you aware? I'll repeat it again. It's not a man's job to take care of you because he got a relationship. That's not an ATM machine. Relationship is not a job. I know that very well. But please, it still takes finance to run romance. Forever. Even if you're not buying gifts every day, birthday is coming. Oh yeah, what are you going to do? You're using ChatGPT to compose long message. And put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Just go to ChatGPT and say, what message can I type for my girlfriend's birthday? When you get it in. You now edit it small. So from the first day I woke up, I saw it. You even lie because when the girl says she knows you copied this thing. You know why I compose all this? It's not like you're a poet. You just don't have money. Let me even tell you people something, brothers. Ladies are not money conscious. But listen, they still like money. You know, I saw this movie that was trending some time ago. What's the name of that movie? Huh? I don't know the name, but you know the movie now? So every lady suddenly could cope with a man who couldn't speak English. Because there was money. Well, let me help the ladies, please. Stop watching that film. Stop thinking about that film. It will never happen to you. Let me tell you why it will not happen to you. Because, come on. How old was that man in that film? He was in his 40s. And you're looking at a 27-year-old man. You say he should buy a house to propose to you. I want to send you to the village. I'm just trying to say, praise God. I know all of this, I'm saying, but please, if you are not financially, at least financially something. Don't be financially non-existent. At least financially something. Something. And it doesn't have to be big. I'm not talking about dating a materialistic girl. No. You are earning 100,000 and it's a constant job. I know it's too small, but at least it's something. So you cannot be, and then you've come of age, you can begin to say, okay, sister, I like you. But then you all you have are hopes, plans. I have a dream. So I have to ask yourself, am I mature?
That's question number two.
Question number three, can I marry me?
Write it like that. Can I marry myself?
I mean, the way you are, without your temper, without your problem, without your uncleanliness, without your dirtiness, with how you know you don't brush your teeth, you don't flush toilets, with how you know that, can you marry yourself? And this question calls for readjustment. Because sometimes, even things you cannot tolerate, you expect another person's child to tolerate. So let me ask, can you marry yourself? Okay. With how broke you are. Can you marry yourself at this, like, at the level of your financials, can you marry yourself? Glory to God. Like, it doesn't call for judgment. It just means you should ask yourself the question. Now, and that's where there is need to talk about personal development. You have to add to yourself. I'm not saying you have to be perfect before you get married. Me, I'm not perfect. Wife is not. So I didn't wait to attain perfection before I got married. No. But there should be personal development. At least adjust some things. Things that you can work on. Work on it before you start jumping into relationship. Work on what you can work on. You have a very sharp tongue that when you talk, even your angels are amazed. Work on it. Work on it. I follow what I'm saying. I'm not calling for perfection, but at least work on some things. So can I marry me? Next question. Where am I headed in life? What is my purpose? Where am I going to? Some people don't even know where they're going to. Especially brothers, you don't know where you're going to. You want to marry someone. So you want to take someone on a journey that you don't even know the destination. So, where am I headed? What is God's plan for your life? Do you even know it? And let me even say this as a way of counseling you. If you've not found your purpose clearly, please don't enter a relationship. Let me tell you what is going to happen. If somewhere along the line, you find that your purpose, imagine I've not found my purpose and I'm seeing a lady. I don't even know that I'm called to be a pastor. I don't even know, we're just talking. And then 3 months, 1 year into the relationship, I find out that I have a calling, not only to be a pastor, but to be a pastor in one awkward community like that. You know, it could harm the relationship. And then it brings a relationship breakup. I'm not saying you must have a clear picture of everything you're going to be, but at least have an idea of where you are headed in life. Are you following me? What is your calling? Some of you are called to be pastor. There are some ladies here, for instance, that are called to stand in the pastoral, and you already know it. That's good, but what if you don't know? Imagine you don't know, and you've picked a guy who doesn't care about it, and suddenly you now find out. Find your purpose. And it's very easy. What does God want me to do? What is His plan for my life? You are here in the morning, we are addressing these matters, right? What is God's plan for my life? What is my purpose? Where am I headed in life? So that when we find that, we can now find someone that will join you on that journey. So whether male or female, before you find a mate, find your purpose. I like saying, before you find a mate, find yourself first. Where are you going to? Where are you headed? And you see, that's why I feel, now this is personal opinion, you know, we just read somewhere in the Bible where Paul said that he did not receive this instruction from the Lord. So this one is not from the Lord. I'm just telling you personal opinion. I feel that in most cases, when ladies marry too early, 17, 18, 19, later in their life, they regret it. You know what I'm saying? And it's not most times about the man being a bad person. It's just that sometimes someone at 17, 18, guy, you never find yourself. You don't even know what you're doing with your life. Maybe at 26, you just realize that this is it. But then you're already married. And we cannot do anything about it again. So the person begins to feel caged. So before you jump into a relationship, saying we are good for each other, find yourself. Where are you headed? Where are you going to? Are you following me, friends? Because relationship is you, or courtship, it's you inviting someone to join you on a journey. You should at least know where you are going to.
before you can bring someone to join you. Are you getting the point? So ask these questions. Where am I headed? Then the last question you ask yourself before you enter courtship is, am I really single? Am I really single? You know, there are people who are not single, but they are. Am I really single? Questions like, am I really single? Is there some sort of, how do we call that in, situationships going on in my life? Or, let's even list situationship. Have I moved on from my past? That's what I mean by am I really single. Have I moved on from my past? Am I still tied up or locked up in my heart with my soulmate, my SS2 soulmate? Are you what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, some people are not actually single. They are single, but they are still tied. You know, some guys are single, but they have a couple of ladies in their lives that they're doing relationship things with. In that state, you're not ready for courtship, because courtship is commitment. And so if at this point you've asked yourself these questions and you find that you're not ready for any relationship thing now, I tell you what to do. Just enjoy your life and develop yourself. Especially with that first and second question. That first question of, am I ready now? Your brother here, you just don't think you're up to this marriage thing now. You just want to build your life, build your business for now. Give it like 2-3 years. It's okay. Nothing is wrong with you. Don't come under any pressure. Just don't lead any lady on in the process. Saying, just hang around till I'm ready. I will now think of whether it's you. I feel what I'm saying. Just make sure you're ready and you get into it. Now, questions that you must ask your partner before and in courtship. Some of them you have to ask them before. Some of them you have to ask them in the courtship. Are you following me? Are you following me? This is why we encourage friendship before relationship. Or friendship before courtship. Well, there are basic information. There are about 9 to 10 areas you must ask questions on before you, either before you enter courtship or when you've entered the courtship. There are areas you must ask questions about. Are you following me? Area number one, for instance, is the area of faith. Basic thing like, are you born again? One of the things you must never do is to assume that someone is born again. So ask, are you born again? And when the person says yes, what do? When you ask someone, are you born again? The person says yes, what do? What does it mean? Because there are a lot of people that feel they are born again because they go to church. Ask questions. Hey, brother, please don't be offended. Oh, sister, are you born again? I might see you around church, but are you born again? You say, okay, yes, I'm born again. Okay, what do you believe? How do you know? The person will say, well, I'm born again because I was born into the church. I was born into church and they did me baptism. You already know this one, nothing they did. What you do at that point, forget about the relationship. Preach the gospel. Win the soul. Forget about relationship. Ask questions. Because the question of faith is something you cannot compromise. You can't compromise. Listen, you cannot marry an unbeliever and succeed in life as a believer. It's bad because it's an unequal yoking. You know, I also tell my daughters, I said, even if it's a pastor trying to ask you out, in all politeness, are you born again? You know, there are pastors that are not born again. Let me tell you, I'm very serious. There are pastors who are not born again. There are people that just begin to grow up in church. They grew up in church. They entered, they joined children's church. Then they did youth. Do you know what I'm saying? They did youth in church. After that, they go to pastoral school and they come out as pastors. They don't have any salvation experience. I am telling you, I've been in meetings where salvation was preached and pastors and priests answered the altar call. Real life story. So, it's possible to be a pastor and not be born again. Are you following me? That's why we have to ask you, even here in this church, we ask, are you born again? We want to know. I know you came in speaking to us. That's why we must pass you through PGTI class. The class number one is what? Salvation. So I will explain it to you. So I will be sure you know what you are doing. So I will not assume. That same thing you do. Don't always assume that because the person you saw him in church, and the worst is where you meet them in meetings like worship concerts. You hear all those ones? Or prayer walk. You know that prayer walk is fun. People know, you know what I'm saying? 2020. We are doing prayer walk. End SAS. Prayer walk. All those. What are, you know, as you're catching clues, you are happy. And then you now assume because the person was carrying water bottle and walking and praying with you. Ask question. Are you born again? So you must ask questions concerning faith. Next, you must ask questions concerning church. What church do you worship with, sir? Or ma? Now, it's a different case. If a person is in your church, you can skip this. But what church do you worship with? He said, I don't really have any church. Me, I'm born again. You know, I'm not really into church things. But every Sunday, anywhere my spirit leads me. That's why, no matter the church you're attending, I will accept you like that. Let me announce to you. That person name will go to church. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't go to church. Any believer who doesn't have a local church is either not saved or not growing. It's as if you don't have a church, you are either not saved or you're not growing. And a person who is not growing is the same thing as a person who is not born again. At least in conduct, in thought pattern, in actions, in decision making. So you must have a church you identify with. So ask him, what church or her, what church do you worship with? I'm not saying you should sit your intending spouse down for interview. That's what I'm saying, no. I'm not saying, hey, you want to date me? Oh, yeah, bring seats. Where is that list pastor even gave us? Question one, are you born again? It's not jammed. That's where there is need for friendship. As you are interacting, these are things that could come up. That's even true. What church is, maybe you guys are talking on Saturday. You say, man, I have to go. You know, I have to be in church tomorrow. He said, that's even true. What's your church? There's a church. Anything he answers that is not straightforward, if you leave, don't come back. Just go from there. What is your church? What is your involvement in the church? Do you know that in this church, part of my due diligence as a pastor is that if you are my daughter or my son and you want to marry out of this church, because we will allow you, there is no law that says that once you are here, you must marry from here. Even though we want you to marry from here. Are you ever wanted to marry from here? Brothers, let me say this to you. I wanted to marry a sister in this church. Tell a brother by your side. Say, brother. Say, brother. Pastor wants you to marry a sister in this church. And it is very close to the will of God for your life. I don't want to get into that teaching, but there are many advantages to that. You know, most of these questions, you avoid it. Most of these struggle, you avoid it. You already know the person. You know, I told people when I wanted to marry my wife, I prayed for 3 to 5 months. Just, it was not fair. But I prayed for 3 to 5 months. Then I asked my wife out. She prayed for 3 months under the supervision of my spiritual mom. When she now said, okay, I've agreed, I just told her, let's wed. Ask her, let's plan wedding immediately. I'm taking you somewhere with this story. So I had to call my pastor. I said, Dad, we want to start planning with it. He laughed. After laughing, he said, please, people should cut small for 3 months before you start thinking about wedding. You know why I could say that? I've known this lady all my life in this church. I get the point. Now, of course, we called her for 3 months. And it was enough. Totally, oh, too much. I've known this lady. Do you know what I remember? I met my wife when she was in SS1. Say amen. Do you want to have my story? They're marrying this church. That's what I'm saying. And that's why. Just there, growing, training, and all of that. And that's one thing, it saves you. But let's leave that. You don't want to marry from this church. That's what I'm now saying. If you want to marry an outsider in this church, I mean another believer in another church. Part of my due diligence as a pastor is that I must ask you for that brother's pastor's number. Yes. If not, I'm not going to be part of the wedding. I will get his pastor's number and ask him, that is this brother coming around our church called Chukwuebuka. Chukwuebuka said, he said, I want to know, is he a member of that church? Don't you think it's a good thing to do? Is he a member of the church?
How? What is his involvement? How long has he stayed there? We've done it for many people. That's how I actually operate. How long has he been there? Okay, is he committed? Then I always ask, is there another woman he's talking to in that church? Have you not seen this happening in many places? The person is talking to a lady in the church and is in the other church, he's sowing seeds that God will uproot. Because any seed not planted by my father. So I always ask, is there another lady that he has tried to marry before or is trying to marry now? So you ask question. And when he says, that's my church, what church is it? Find out the church. So that you wouldn't get into the marriage and you've learned all these things we are teaching you in this church. You've learned how to hear God, how to, and you go to a church that is just talking their own. You know, the body of Christ is one. But this is not a doctrinal statement. I'll just make it loosely. There are tribes in this thing. There are churches that look alike. There are churches that don't look anything alike. And trust me, there are churches that with what you know, if you marry into, you will struggle. I'm just telling you. You get the point? How are you going to cope? After being in this, I'm not saying it's bad. Please, I'm not mocking any church, okay? But I'm saying, after being in this church for how long, where we teach you all of this spiritual training, and you marry into a church, and all they do from Monday to night is, can I pro? Can I pro? Can I, Monday to night, can I pro? Say pro. Can I pro? Pro. Pro, professor. And Monday to night, every demon. Imagine that. So, can you cope? I'm telling you, at the time you begin to feel naked and empty. Like you removed your clothes. And I'm telling you, a sir called me recently. Told me, sir, I don't know what is happening to me. I said, don't have, sir, I have a church. He said, I go every day, every week. But I feel. I get what I'm talking about. That's why you must ask questions. But that's not what we are teaching people today. People just might meet any idiot they see on the road. I think they can date. Next question is question of, this one is very important. Ask questions around reason. What I mean by reason, I mean, ask the person, why did you choose me? Now, this is not an all question. There are 201 ladies on earth. Why is it me? Especially ladies should learn to ask that question. Now, I'm not saying you should start expecting, because I've heard people, why did you decide to marry? They say, I just need somebody that can be washing my clothes. But that's the point. You have to know, why is it me you want to marry? They say, when I saw how you clean the house. Now, I'm not saying it's bad, but at least you should know that's why they married you. Do you know what I'm saying? You should know. So why? I won't say much about that. Again, another area you ask question is about the past. Now, ask about the person's past. Maybe not immediately, not before the courtship, no. But I mean, while in the courtship, ask about that. Now, do not try to dig it. There is no human being that can tell you everything about their past. No human being can actually, even if he wants to, actually tell you, he met the person when he is 28. Nobody can in detail give everything that happened between 28, in the past 28 years. But there are questions I think you should ask. Something like, is there something about your past that you think I should know? I get what I'm saying. Now, it mustn't be something bad. Is that something you think I should know? If the person says nothing, don't start. There are many things people ask in ritual that are not necessary. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? What? Did you teach one kata? I don't think those are necessary. If you are dating a sincere person, just ask, is that something you think I should know? For instance, do you have a child? Which is not a bad thing, but at least you should know. Have you been married before? Are you following what I'm saying now? So ask, is there anything, even when you meet them in church? Because before they joined this church, they had a past. They had a life before this church. And I'm not saying you should ask so that you can now scatter the relationship. Just ask, at least so that you know whether it is what you can deal with. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So a sister is in church. Before she joined church, she was very bad. Maybe a prostitute and was just selling her blood all over the place. But then she got born again. Became serious in church and began to grow. If a brother is going to marry her, it would be good she mentions it to the brother. Of course, not before the relationship starts. But while they're ongoing, say, well,
I just think you should know. This is my past. It's no longer me. But then, I used to be like this. So that you know, first of all, so that you know whether he can even deal with it. Are you getting the point? And so that if both of you are walking on the road and somebody says, customer, you'll be able to explain yourself and say, he's one of those people, sir. He's not one. And the same way, ask questions about it, but just basic things about past. Is this blessing you? So what else should you ask the person? Ask questions, of course, this is very important, about health. They've already talked about it, genotype. Genotype. Picon. There are many prayers we can avoid in the future. All this become just SS, change in Jesus' name. Change. We can avoid that prayer in this church. So ask, no matter how much you are in love, ask. You see what mom was saying? She said, ask it playfully. Oh. Tell a story. Say that it's one of my friends that married ASAS. So me, I was now even thinking, self, that say anything, but ask it. I get what I'm saying? Because I will not be the one to wed you. ASAS, now I'll never wed you. Now, I know somebody is trying to say to me, I don't know why I'm saying that, but don't you think that they can marry and believe God that their children will be AA? I think it can happen. But you know something else I think that can be a bigger miracle? That they can believe God to change their genotype before they marry. So they should believe God for that one. It's the same God that does all the miracles. So you believe God to change your genotype. I will not. Let me tell you why I think SS doesn't make sense. I think it's selfishness. Do you understand? It means you don't care about the babies. You're going to bring children into this world who did nothing to you except to come from your lineage. And they're going to suffer all their life. And the worst thing is you don't even have money. You are marrying AS. That AS is big people sickness. You now bring children into this world. They've not eaten well. Yes, they're sick class. And forget I'm trying to sound funny, but it's actually very serious. So ask questions. Some of the things you will find out about the person's self will not end the relationship. But it is good that you know it. For instance, if someone has a blood group, which is not bad, that maybe it's O negative or it's O negative, Abby. It's not bad. If a woman has that, it's not bad. But you need to know. Are you getting the point? Uh-huh. If you're in the medical field, you know what I'm saying. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know why you should know? So no point explaining, right? Okay. But do we all know? Let's not drown your voice. Do you know? You should just ask. Because what it means is that when the lady gives birth, I don't have all the details, I'm not a medical doctor. But when the lady gives birth, the first few hours after she gives birth, if she's O negative, there is a particular drug or something that they have to take. Who can explain this thing very well for me? Who will explain? Do you want to explain it? Yeah, get a mic, because it's all part of it. Praise God. Quickly, yes. Take anyone to her. So just in 30 seconds, explain what I just said.
Praise God. Good evening, everyone. Thank you, sir. So if you're a woman, it's particularly for women. For men, they don't have a lot of wahala with it. But if you're particularly a woman and your blood group is something negative, it can be O negative, it can be A negative, it just means it's not a very big problem, but it just means that when you deliver or when you have a pregnancy event, there's a particular drug that you have to be given few hours after the event. The reason is because if you're negative and you have a child that is... Now, most people are positive. So there are more chances that you have a child that is positive. Your blood and the child's blood will react. And when you react, it will cause trouble. So they'll just give you an injection so that to make the blood not to react.
Okay, well, that's a layman way of explaining it. But at least you got what she's trying to say. Now, this is simple. But you need to know. I get what I'm saying. You need to know whether the person is HIV positive. Which is not a problem. Now, I want to listen to me. Right? It's not a problem. It's only a problem if you cannot cope with it. Many people are HIV positive and are living comfortable lives on earth and there's nothing to it. Like, really nothing to it, because even their husbands or their wives will not catch it. Even their children will not have it. But you need to know. Ibuya? Do you have HIV? Tell me so that I can know. I'm just being very. So you ask health-related questions. Let it come up your conversation. It's funny. And that's why I'm against romance in relationships. Because once people begin to touch, they stop talking. You know what I said? Once touching starts, talking stops. Because every time we sit together in the room, I'm just thinking of you, just thinking of your beautiful eyes and your beautiful lips. I just want to. That's what people are talking about. Now, that's why you can date someone in your own world for 5 years and you don't know the person's blood group. I never knew. What were you now doing? What do you even know? Do you know your name? What exactly do you know? Ask health-related, have health-related conversations. I get the point. I remember that I had this conversation with my wife. It was really very funny. I scared her with it. Told her one genotype. Told her my result is out and it's not looking good. And she was just like, he said, well, let me just see it. Let me just see it first. Praise God. Just felt so good. Okay. So but have those conversations. Don't just think that our love is enough. Your love is not always enough. So you see, this singles connect is going to call for some conversations. Right? So ask questions around health. Ask questions, this is very important, around marital plans. What I mean is, ask the person, when do you want to get married? If you're a lady, you are 26, 27, a guy is hanging around you, find a way and find out when he wants to get married. If he says 5-7 years time, there you have your answer. And baby, so you don't waste your time. And brothers too, very important, because some of you are 25, 26, and you are really not ready for marriage now. But you are with a girl who thinks that her marriage will happen in 8 months' time. There's nothing wrong with the girl, but just remove yourself. So you must ask question, when are you even looking to settle down? It will shock you, brother, sister, that there are some brothers who are not thinking of settling down in 5 years' time. They're hanging around you. But they're not thinking. So ask them. See, when I even thinking of settling, just ask it. Don't ask as though you are interested, but just ask them. You'll be shocked at the things you will hear. It's a different thing that a guy says, well, I'm trusting God for money, but everything's been equal. When money comes, 1 year, 2 years, okay. But the person says, settling down, okay. Once you hear that one, don't wait for anything. Everything is going to say is to come up. Say, ha. Settling down, kwa. I'm telling you, I love you. I'm saying settling down. So please, ask questions about what are your marital plans? Marital plans. Ask questions, talking about plans, about his life plans. Or his or her life plans. What do you plan? What's your next 3 years like? What are your plans? What are your visions? I wanted to put this one last, but I'm talking about already. What are your visions? Brother, ask. Sister, ask. I'm not saying to end the relationship. At least so that you know. What are your plans? What is your plan in the next 5 years, the next 3 years? Find out. It mustn't be a direct question, but people must have this conversation. I always recommend, before you even think of dating a person, so you know where the person is going to. I get to the point. What are your plans? At least the one you know now, because of course you don't have all those details, but at least the one you know now. When you ask people about their plans, everything they tell you may not happen. In fact, they can wake up tomorrow and have a new plan. But it gives you light into how the person thinks.
It helps you see the person's thought pattern. What are your plans? You just know that this one. Now you ask yourself, whether can I cope with this one? What are your plans? Some people don't have vision. They don't have anything they're living for. They're just existing. You ask you, what are your plans? Say, well, for me, get married and have kids. And then you're saying, okay. Say, train the kids. So she has no plans to do her master's. She has no plans to run a business. She has no plans to expand the business too. She has no plans to make herself better. Or he has no plans. You just know who you have met. And maybe if you are like Noel that says, well, I can cope with a lady who is not ambitious. It's nothing bad. But at least you should know. Do you understand? Me, I like a lady that is ambitious. Now, I don't like a lady that her ambition is stronger than her brain. It's bigger than her sense. But at least, do you have some ambition? Do you understand? Have some ambition. Have some ambition. Ambition is what will keep you, wake you up to read because you want to make first class. That's ambition. Ambition is what will wake you up to start your business early because you want your business to grow. Why does one have ambition? Ambition is even what will make you read books about child training because you want to train your children well. So, talk with the person. What are your plans? What are my plans? Have that conversation. Have conversations also around influence. And this is very important. Influence. What I mean by influence is who are his biggest influence. Who is his pastor? Who are his friends? Because you see, those friends, they're already showing you a mirror. You know, when a man meets a woman meets a man, you try to package. If you really want to see them very well in 3D, look around his friends. Those his friends are him. He is his friends. Forget all the, I'm not saying they're going to murder themselves word for word. For instance, if someone says he's a church person, but all his or her close friends are not church people, let me tell you. Not them. Because it's a question of time. It will show. So who are his friends? Who is his pastor? Who does he listen to? Or there is nobody that he listens to? That one is even more dangerous. But even when you find out, you listen to that person to hear what the person says. Imagine you are with a man whose mentor, the person he looks up to, believes that all you have to do is to just take care of your woman, give her money, and travel all over the world. That's what he's going to become. He's not yet that same because he doesn't have as much money as that his mentor. Once his money grows to the level of that his mentor, he will give you the same energy. And so find out his friends, his influence. Who does he listen to? You know, funny enough, thinking about it now, some of these questions, when I told my dad I was going to get married to my wife, these are some of the questions he asked me. One of them, for instance, is which church does she worship with? I said, sir, it's our church. And he asked me, how long has she worshipped there? There are questions you should ask. So that question he was asking was, who influences her? Who talks to her? I get what I'm talking about. You should also try to find out. Who is this guy's or this lady's influence? Who are her closest friends? What are their values? What do they do? How do they think? Because it will be the same thing. I get what I'm saying. Praise God. So you want to make sure that if I let me even tell you a big one, if you have a friend, someone you want to marry, and all his friends, he has four friends, all of them are serious pastors. But he's not a pastor. Let me tell you, you're marrying a pastor. You're not just aware. It's just a matter of time. Because that thing that kept him in that relationship with them is deep, calling on to deep. Very soon, one deep will respond to another deep and they will be calling a pastor. So he says, I don't want to be a pastor, but he has all his close friends. What it means, first of all, is that he is open to such callings. Though he might say he's not, but he is. What it means is that should God ever say anything like that, he wouldn't object. Even if he wants to object, he has friends that will push him into it. That's what it means. The same way you have a guy you're talking with, a lady you're talking with, and all his friends are Yahoo boys. But he's not a Yahoo boy. How are you even sure? So when they mix together, what kind of conversations do they have? So pay attention. Who are his friends? So this one, you might not need to ask it directly, but then observe it. So that's as well as your closest friends have. And there are some other people you should be aware of. People that say, I don't have any friend. Say, man, I don't have anybody. I'm just on my own. That person, you have to be very careful. Sometimes they are lying. Sometimes they are proud. Right? I just say, I don't have any mentor. Nobody talks to me. I'm just on my own. I do my things myself. I get to the point. You know, one of the things I decided as a man when I was getting married was that my wife must accept fully and completely the authority of my spiritual parents. It was my decision. Now, it was my, and I made sure. So, the first day, if I asked my wife, it was very interesting. After, of course, it was good. It was cool. It was romantic. Yeah. Yes, it was. I did not quote the Bible. I'm just saying. It was romantic. But then after I asked her out, because she went out, got a good space, you know, went, picked her up. Do you understand? It was very cool. Yeah. I'm just saying. Because I'm saying it deliberately. I'm not just trying to make you do all. I'm saying it deliberately. Because when some people here in this church, before you marry, you pray for 3 months, you think we are boring. We are not too. Yes, I prayed for 3 to 5 months. But when I finished, when I decided, it was something. You get the point? I asked her out on a date. Said, I'll come pick you up. Got there, came down, opened the door. She came in, sat down, drove her. I'd already booked for a fine, exotic venue. And then brought her in, sat her down. What do you want to eat? You know, it was just very cool. But listen, when I made all my points known, I told her, I said, I know you are a believer. And I know you will want to pray. But please, I want this prayer to please be monitored by my spiritual mom. Would you want that to happen? She said, yes, there's no problem. I had to do that. Like what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you that I made up my mind that you must come at that. Because at the end of the day, if my head is touching tomorrow, it is that authority that she can speak to. Imagine she despises them. I follow what I'm saying. And I'm trying to show you, find out who his influences are. Who are his friends? I didn't have to ask my wife who is your pastor because I knew her pastor. Do you understand? I've known her pastor for a very long time, all my life. Do you understand the point? But it was good. If it's not someone I didn't know, I would have asked this question, who do you listen to? Who is your pastor? Find out sometimes, self, who is their social media model. Sometimes it helps you see how shallow people are. Who do they? You know the person, I heard a man of God say this. Somebody say this. I've heard many men of God say it. And it's really, there is this one boy on TikTok that is making noise that many young people are using as their mentors. That are looking up, that are behaving. Please, if you're a young person here, get up for that boy. Pella. Listen. Pella is not a model for young people. I have nothing against him. I don't know him. But that's not the person you look at. It shows how shallow you are. Shows how shallow you are. So find out who are they looking. So some of these guys. Thank God you don't know him. I heard he's in a relationship. And I don't know. I'm not on TikTok anyway. I'm not on TikTok. But it's just so funny. So find out who their social media heroes are. It's not like just find out so that you see how they are. I'm not saying they must revere and honor pastors. That's not what I'm saying. But even if they're going to have business motivations, find out who the people are. Find out. There are people you tell them, who do you like? Everybody they like, they don't add nothing to their lives. Not pastors, not businessmen, not entrepreneurs, just idiots. Jumping up and down and dancing up and down all over the place. I'm saying this so that you can know that when you see that influence, you will know whether you can do or you are not doing. Because 3 months, 6 months is too short to know a person. But there are things you can look at. It's already give you an idea of how that person is and who that person is. I get what I'm saying now. So ask who are your influences. Ask and observe. Then, of course, I'll say like 2-3 more things and we'll close. Have you been blessed? You must ask also compatibility questions. Things like, how do you see things? I won't say much about that. How does he, ladies, please, ask, how does he see things? For instance, what is perception about women walking? Ask, because when I make compatibility issues, I mean, check if your values and his, if they walk together. What does he think about women walking? What does he think about, you know, brother, how does he think about home care? Does she think, for instance, that it's not my job to cook for you? Anybody that comes back on time should cook. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's okay by you, but you should at least find out. Now, that's not okay by me. Do you understand? It's not okay by me. So what is okay by you? What I believe is that there are gender roles in a home. That's what I believe. Because I found it in the Bible. Right? Now, I do not also believe that a woman should do all the work in the home. I don't believe in that. But I believe there are gender roles. I was talking to the ministers in the office yesterday. For instance, I will not... Now, this is me. I will not expect my wife now, our gen spoils, for her to carry generator to run to mechanic. That's... I get what I'm saying. That doesn't make any sense. Or her car... The car is bad, then I expect her to go to the mechanic and go and sit down and be saying, Kenemia, whip the boat. I don't expect that. I should be able to carry the car to the mechanic. So there are gender rules. I know what I'm talking about. But if what you expect me, like me now, to do, I can't do that one. That's what I say. Do you understand? If you're not Nigerian, this is happening in our country. If lights go, like... If they take light, I am the one that's supposed to go buy fuel, but you can never see my wife carrying fuel gallon. Ronald, you can't do that. It's me you're going to see. I get what I'm saying. Now, this is me. There are other things like that in our house. We don't use firewood. But if we're using firewood to cook, is it my wife that will be cutting the fire, breaking? No. There are gender roles. I believe scripture says that the job of keeping a home is a woman's job. Now, it's not Old Testament, New Testament. Titus, the book of Titus, I think chapter 2 or chapter 3. Keep us at home. So, that's by the way. But you have to ask to know if it is okay by you. Now, if it's okay by you, there's nothing wrong with that. But ask questions about values, compatibility issues. What do you think about this? What do you think about a woman going to school? Furthering her studies. Do you understand? Ask her. What do you think about a woman being an entrepreneur? What if your wife is richer than you? Ask all those questions. So that you know whether people are thinking the right way. That is Titus 2 verse 5. That Paul was giving Titus the qualification for good widows, you know, that should be taken into and the account to be taken care of. Say they must be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Give me another translation of this. About young... start from verse 4. I just missed up something now. Next verse 3. Okay, the aged women. Yes, I'm right. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, verse 4, that they teach the young women. So these are the things we teach young women. That one, they be sober. They love their husbands. They love their children. What else do you teach them? That to be discreet. Go to NLT, please. Let's see. He said, to live wisely and be pure. To walk in their homes. To do good. And some of their husbands. So to walk in their homes. NLT said, walk in their homes. What did Amplify Classic say? Homemakers. Are you following the point? I believe a woman. Now, if she doesn't think so, it's fine. But you must know whether you can cope with that. And if you can cope with it, it's perfect. I get what I'm saying now. Are you following me? But ask all those compatibility questions. What are other compatibility questions? Questions of give me an example. Compatibility issues.
Huh? What's the person's perspective on relating with families? Can my mother visit? Do you understand what I'm saying? What do you think of our mother-in-laws? So there are questions to ask. You have another example? Huh? Childbirth. Is there a problem with childbirth? Oh, how many children? Well, that's not really a big deal. How many children? Huh? Whether he wants to have children. Okay, yeah. That's also one something. So find out to start with whether he wants to have children. Some we want to marry and they don't want to have children. And it's okay. You know, it's perfect. No, I mean, ask. That's what I'm saying. It can happen now. Think about it. If a man is already married and has children and then loses the wife and wants to remarry, he can say, I don't want more children in my house. And it's coming for you. You should know. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can say, well, I already have many children. I've married before. My wife gave me 6 children. Do you understand? I just need somebody that will love me and take care of these children. Find the good out. So all those things that come to mind, mention childbirth, conception, do you believe in cesarean session, if need be. Just find out how the person is to think. But I saw that argument online where a man was saying that, that a woman should not give birth through cesarean session. That if she does that, she's not a true woman. You just see how shallow minded. So that's why, you know, everything I'm teaching is showing you why you should have friendship. And because there are things you cannot find out. It is now things that will happen and you now find out how the person is talking. You'll be like, are you serious? But it's not everything you remember to ask. But if you build friendship, you just hear conversations. That's why, again, courtship is a time to talk, not a time to touch. Because in the process of talking that you get to really know people. Issues. Maybe something just happened. Maybe they just, something, you just tell, but do you see this online? And you now hear the person's views. Has it ever happened to you? Hearing somebody's views and wondering, how is a human being thinking like this? How is a human being thinking like this? When I saw that yesterday, I thought it was a joke. But many guys came out and were defending it. Say that actually you should give birth because my mother gave birth to me normally. So you must give birth to my child normally. You know what I'm saying? I don't have any teaching on that. That's what people think. There was a conversation. I don't like those conversations because it will not happen to believers. But there was a conversation around. Somebody said, what if... So something about wife and son, you know, if there's a case you have to save. Now, that's a very stupid comparison. I don't like talking about such things. But to think that somebody said that my wife can go to hell, if she dies, I can marry me anymore, I will save my son. That the fact that she thinks that you are somebody that can easily be replaced, you're already seeing how people think. So have those conversations so that you know whether you guys think at least reason alike. Are you following me? Find out whether the word of God is first place in his life or whether it's second place. Not just by asking. It's not by saying, is the word first place in your life? Nobody will say yes. But then it comes in simple conversations. Like, visit me, please. You say, please, I can't visit you because if I visit you, we might just compromise our standards. I bet it's compromise standard. See, if I'm not going to touch you, I'm not doing. You already seen, no matter what, the word is not first place. Let me tell you, sin is sin. But there is sin where we say, now I'm not justifying anything, I'm just telling you a story. I'm just making an analysis. Where we say, you know, mistakenly, we are just talking and mistakenly, we just, things went out of our, and I say, sorry. And there's another category of sin where I don't even see anything wrong with it. I just plan, I say, come over. It's going to be a hot weekend. That's the kind of person you are dealing with. You're already seeing that the word is not first place in his life. Doesn't matter how much he shouts in church. Are you following what I'm saying? The word is not first place. When the word of God is first place in your life, you are thinking of how to obey it. So that when you break it, it hurts you. Are you know what I'm saying? But well, you just don't care. Say which one? So somebody cannot live life again. So sexual purity is not a thing. It's not a thing for them. And a Christian sister told me, said, Daddy, the reason why I'm just giving it to him and allowing him is because I know that if I don't allow him, you can't get it from elsewhere. Ah! Oh, God. You know how we ended? We prayed. Because she was clearly possessed by the devil. To talk like that. It means a demonic spirit had taken over her brains. I said, so you know that he went to another person? He said, yes. I said, ah. And you're talking to me. That's why we need some sort of mentorship, some sort of guidance. A sister was in my house. My wife knows what I'm saying. Some time ago, you know. Thank God for her. She came to see me. And that's why sometimes if you see that this person does not uphold Christian values, don't try to defend it. Don't try to. She came to see me and tell me I'm getting married. She's not someone that is in our church, but there's someone that listens to me. She's a mentee. So I'm getting married. I said, congrats. So I was just so happy. I said, who is he? Give me the name. What does he do? He's an engineer. It's okay. After all that question, have you seen your parents? Yes. Have they approved? Yes. Okay, let me just pray with you. I held her hands. I removed my hand. I said, I'm sorry. What did you say he does again? Then I say he's an engineer. So what kind of engineer? Civil, electrical, electronics. What is he? He's a civil engineer. I say, okay. Let's pray. Shamarama. Sister. What did you say this boy does again? Say, Pastor, I just know that if I come here, I'm going to know. Well, what I told my dad and my visa is he's an engineer. But I found out he's not an engineer. I said, what he says, he's a Yahoo boy, but I say, okay. When the word of God is not first, don't negotiate there. I get what I'm saying. So I say, what are you thinking of doing? When I prayed for that, she now opened up. That boy used to beat her, but give her money. Real life story. In fact, she told me the last time they beat her. But she's a girl that has some drama. She's, you know, she has some drama in her life. So he said they were going out one day, and the guy shouted at her on the road. You know, where she didn't. You know, just they had just small whatever. Not something special. He said to me, "If I'm not going again." And turned to go back. And the guy was so angry and slapped her and dragged her on the road and dragged her into the car. As if they're fighting WWE. But she wanted to marry. She has already taken this guy to her parents. And they had already fixed it. Now at that point, I know there was no advice I would have given her that would have worked. Now what I told her, I said, well, we are going to pray. So I put on a prayer regimen, 2 months. You know, prayer does things that you can never imagine. Before she was done, she didn't even call me. After some, I say, how far your marriage is? Say, which marriage? I didn't even pass that month. I don't know what I was doing. She's married now to the glory of God. Right? She has a child now to the glory of God. But I'm just trying to say, but it's not that man, it's not that idiot. When you find out that these values don't align, don't try to, I get what I'm saying, don't try to cover up. Deal with it. If he doesn't put God's word first, she doesn't put God's word first in her life. Don't try to make excuses. Let me tell you, if someone can compromise with his or her full chest over a matter, he or she can compromise over many other matters. Today, it is sexual purity we are dealing with. Tomorrow, it will be other matters. Are you following me? Tomorrow, it will be many other matters. You see a guy that is doing Yahoo today, when Yahoo stops paying and another opportunity comes for drugs, he will do it. I know what I'm talking about. And don't be so sure that if a chance comes for ritual, that he will not do it. And don't be so sure that they will not say, bring your wife. They don't say, bring your wife. Bring the person you love most in your life. Glory to God. Learn him something. Then the final thing I'm going to say before I take your questions, so you can write your questions and I'll answer them very quickly. Have conversations around finance. Don't run away. Finance. Sister, are you working? Brother, are you working? Now, especially, I'm not saying before you guys enter courtship, no, that's what I'm saying, no. But when you guys are already in courtship, find out whether he or she's working. Find out how much, what do you get paid? Is it not okay to ask your intending spouse his or her salary? Is it wrong? No, I don't think it's wrong.
Sorry, please. What do you get? You guys already,
I'm not saying the person is asking you out, right? There's already plan.
It's not I have shop in Alaba, I have shop in... Do you know the shop? Ask questions. Find out future plans. And please, don't be offended, sir. Are you in any debt?
You don't want to ask, Abi?
I've seen things. You see this small pastoring journey I've done? I've seen things. And once you enter the marriage, it's now we. So you have to at least find out. I'm not saying you should scatter the marriage, but at least know. Are you in debt? Then the person should also be able to tell you future financial plans. Right? Future plans. What? Look at what I have. Okay, now, sir, I'm not earning much. I'm earning 400,000. But I have plans. I want to work here for like 5 years or for like 3 years. And once I'm done with that, I want to set up my own. That's the plan. You want to hear that? I get the point. Find out what the plan is. And ask the sister too. Brothers, ask the sister about their financial goals. Now, it's better you ask about the lady's finance. Because at the end of the day, marriage can be hard. When it's just one person providing. Now, I'm not saying... Now, I don't... Well, let me not talk to you about my home. But it's good. Now, when I wanted to get married, there was something that people were saying. I'm not saying it's bad. I didn't like it and I didn't do it. So people were saying, you're a full-time pastor. The normal thing about full-time pastors, they normally tell them to marry a lady that is working and has big money. So that at least her money can sustain the home. Have you had that kind of advice? Some people tried to give me that. I told them, well, no. I told them, I said, if God that called me will not provide for me, then I'm not going to get married. Now, so I'm not saying I got married to depend on my wife's money or something. But listen, ladies should be financially responsible, at least. That's an analogy I don't want to use because we are in church and we shouldn't use it because we are faith people. But have you ever thought of if, God forbid, and God for really, but it will not happen, but if the man dies early? Have you ever thought of that? And they already have 6 children by the time death happened. And the woman is totally irresponsible financially. Your kids will end up on the streets. I get what I'm talking about, friends. So, a lady should be financially responsible. At least, leave all this. You want to be Munyo Dogu, whatever. Listen. Walk. And brother, as you're getting close, ask questions. I'm not saying you should want to marry a woman that is a billionaire. But ask questions. What's happening? Okay, are you working? Okay, you're not working yet. But at least, why are you not working? Are you applying? You are taking a course now. I also think you should add this course. At least have those kind of financial conversations so we know where we are going to. Are you following me, friends? So, before you get in, ask questions. When you are in, ask the right questions. I put it this way, in this teaching, because I found out people that know how to ask the right questions will always end up with the right answers. But people who don't ask questions always get into trouble. Praise God. So ask the right questions, and I'm trusting God you will not make a mistake. You'll make the right choice in Jesus' name. Amen. So do we have questions? If you have questions that you wrote, okay, you can write. People that can ask, I'll just take like 5 or 6. People that can ask, get a mic for them to ask. People that want to write, like there is somebody I know. You know that time. People that want to ask about somebody they know, so you can give them, you can write and ushers will collect it. So get a mic up, Pastor Maka, very quickly. We have to beat time, so no dead moments. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Dad, I want to ask about finance.
Okay.
I have a very unusual mindset about finance in the home. It's not a bad mindset, but it's very, in short, I didn't know how unusual it was until I spoke to somebody about it. And she said in her words that this is unrealistic. So I want to know what finance in the home, what's maybe not an ideal, but something that can work. You know, I'm talking of a proper home where the man is earning, the woman is earning. Worst case scenario, quote and unquote, the wife is earning more than the man.
What did the person say is unrealistic?
So, where I grew up, we don't know whose money is who. We don't know what money belongs to who. Yes. In short, as a child, I didn't know who was richer. It was when I grew up that I knew that at some point this person has more money, and at some other point this other person. And my parents, they ran a joint account, and it was in such a way that there was a particular account, joint, the two of them were joint accounts, but there was this, the one where my mom's salary enters, my dad gets the alert, and the one where my dad's money enters.
And that kind of transparency is what you, is your mindset.
Yes, and this person said it's unrealistic.
Well, nothing is unrealistic in marriage. But the thing I'm going to say to you is, don't enter marriage with the intention of reproducing your father's marriage. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't do that. If that system works, it works. But it will be decided by the both of you in the marriage. Don't enter marriage with the intention of, this is how it happened in my house, this is how it must happen in this place. Don't do that. You're going to crash your home, because now you are telling us where you are coming from. Your husband-to-be will also say where he's coming from, how it is done. Maybe where he's coming from now, maybe, do you understand? Maybe they just do their own separately. So it is when both of you meet, you have a conversation around that. How do we run this? You tell the person, this is my own thought pattern. The person will bring his own. Most times, you guys will strike a balance and meet in the middle. There is no ideal for the home. What is actually ideal for the home, of course, are things like, that was a financial headship. The man is the head of the home, right? So at the end of the day, there is financial headship. There are some other things. But ideal as per this, how it's going to be shared, is dependent on you and your spouse. It's not, there's no general thing. I don't have any general accounts for that. Except there's a particular issue we are dealing with. Get a mic. I said there's a particular issue we are dealing with, then I can give my comments on that. But this is what I actually think. So get a mic. If the questions are collected, let me have some of them.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
Good evening, church. Okay, my question is based on what you spoke about getting married and not wanting to procreate or have children.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with my friend yesterday, and I've always felt like God had a plan for marriage, like there should be fruits, children. So I've never envisaged that marriage should happen in the faith without having plans to have children. So my question is it biblically right to get married without having plans to have children?
Biblically right. It's a strong word. But let me say this. First of all, the purpose of marriage is, first of all, kingdom marriage is for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God together. That's the first. The second is companionship. Procreation is the third. Which, if you think this way, what the list I gave you, if you think this way, even if there is a case of delay in childbirth, you will not think your marriage is failing. You get the point? Because when people put childbirth first, as this is the reason for marriage, if you don't give birth, they begin to feel like, I get what I'm talking about. First reason is advancing the cause of the kingdom together. Forget that during wedding, everything I'm talking about is children. The way they say, that's the thing they're talking about, but that's not the major purpose. It is kingdom advancement, then companionship. Because even when you have children, your children, by the grace of God, will grow up. When they all grow up, they're going to leave that home and have their own homes. You have to continue with your wife. So the purpose is companionship at the end of the day. So childbirth and child training is just one of the things that happen in the course of marriage. I get the point. Now, as for whether it is biblical, God leaves us to make our choices at the end of the day. Right? So you can decide not to give birth. It's your business. But if you decide not to give birth, make sure you will take the necessary step. Because the one that I will not tolerate is that you say you will not give birth and you are aborting babies. That's the one that should not be tolerated. Abortion is not something that should be discussed among the church, in the church. I already showed you in the morning, if you are here in the morning, I told you that when a child is in the womb, God already has the future of that child written. Are you what I'm saying?
So, if you are really going to do that, make sure you have a way of doing it well. That's now, it's not acceptable. You cannot get pregnant and be removing this up and down. So make sure you have a way. Right? But then, the point of this teaching is, if anybody, I find it weird too that you want to marry and don't want to have children. I find it weird actually. But I'm saying, if anybody will have that matter, let's talk about it. So if you don't agree with it, the person can go and all that. Well, biblically correct, God lets you have your choice. Right? It's you that will decide what I want to give. But even though I think every sane person should want to give birth, why are you getting married? You get married. Okay, let me have the questions. Okay.
Good evening, sir. Please, I have a question. In terms of finance, a woman might be striving economically very well, doing very well, especially in business. For example, I'm very good with marketing, I'm very good with business. You might get married and maybe childbirth will kind of bring a slowdown. What will happen? Because you might not be contributing financially.
Yes. Very, very, very good. Well, what I'm going to say is, first of all, anything you slow down on for the purpose of childbirth in marriage is not a loss. I had to have this conversation with some of my people here. When some of them give birth, you know, some of them, before they gave birth, they were doing ministry, they were always around, and they give birth, and sometimes you have to start home for 2 months. I always tell them, childbirth, if you have to slow down for the purpose of childbirth, you are not losing anything if you use it well. Right? Now, a man that is wise should know that that childbirth will slow the woman down to an extent. Even finally, he should be able to know. So in such cases, the man should step up and do what he should until the woman is strong enough to get back to what she was doing. I get the point. Forget that today, it's a bit easier with remote jobs now. You can actually give birth and still be working. There are some companies that are quite very brutal. You give birth, they sack you. Yes, because they know that it's demanding to be a mother. So they would rather go for young girls of 21, 22 years who are not working, put them in their company. So what if that's the case in your home? What that happens? So a man should step up. That's why I said earlier, I don't think a man should be getting married with the intention of... Okay, I don't know if I should say this. Well, I don't think you should get married with the intention of sharing responsibility with your wife financially. Make up your mind that even if it's 30,000 I'm earning, we are going to plan our home around this 30,000. That's a responsible man. I'm only saying that the woman from her end should just decide to be contributing. I get what I'm saying. So don't get married and they are checking your wife's salary. So people, you know, some men are quite irresponsible. If I want to know what she's earning if I marry her. Why? So that's no now. It means you are trying to live off that woman. Is it very clear? So I'm just saying, in such cases, the woman should step up. The man should step up and all of that. Okay. So let me take some other questions asked by somebody I know. How can you manage a marriage where both parties have two different spiritual fathers? Well, I'll tell you the simple thing. If I understand your question, it's about two different spiritual fathers, two different churches. It's possible. But listen, once that marriage happens, the wisest thing to do is that the lady should submit to the man that the husband listens to. While we can take counsel once in a while from that person, but it will not be good that both of us are listening to two different people. It's not always the best. So I tell the ladies that marry from this church, when they marry from this church, I still counsel them whenever I see them, but they have to answer to that man that the husband dress as in submits to. Somebody will ask me, what if the man doesn't do a good job? Why did you marry the person? Did you see the spiritual father before you married him? Except maybe the man on his own finds out that, well, I've seen my church, I've seen your church. In all fairness, I think your church is better. I want us to join your church. That can happen. It's not a man pride thing. You get the point? I've seen that your church, you guys are growing spiritually. I love what you guys have there. I want to be part of it. Then he decides to join the church. That is it. There's room for that. But if not, if the man has a solid, healthy church he worships with, it should be good to join him and submit to the authority there. Don't worry. If you are not used to the system, with time, you will get used to it. It's a matter of time. Amen. Can marital conviction be one-sided? No. Marital conviction cannot be one-sided. In fact, the fact that the other person is not convinced means it's not the will of God. I mentioned a book in the morning. That my book, How to Find the Will of God. Have you read to this point? Let me see if I've read that book, How to Find the Will of God for Your Life. Yes. I gave like 4 or 5 things with which to know whether someone is God's will for you. The last one is this one we're talking about. If I've prayed and I'm sure, she's born again, she's everything, but she says, I don't want. Leave it. Leave it. It cannot be one-sided. You cannot be convinced for me. Let me convince myself. That's why I told you that when I asked my wife out, I asked her to pray. Because I wanted her to be convinced. And my pastor gave me a very strong counsel on this. Very solid counsel. I will never forget. He told me, he said, you know, you are Pastor Henry. The chances are, any lady you ask after your church will want to say yes. Even if they don't like you. I get the point. And he said, you have to be sure that this person is not going to say yes out of respect. You know, that is that part. Or honor. Or I celebrate you, sir. Or out of, I don't know how to tell you no. Or out of, oh, I'm marrying pastor. I'm going to be Mommy Gio. You have to be sure that's not why. So you have to give her time to pray. So that's why when she was praying for 3 months, I didn't interrupt it. At first, I wanted her to pray for 1 month. But then, my pastor was saying it was 3 months. So I didn't interrupt it. But I wanted that to also be so that when we are entering the marriage, I am 100% sure. She's 100% sure. If anything happens, we are both sure we heard from God and we can face it together. I get to the point. So marital conviction cannot be one-sided. If it's one-sided, just let it go. You're going to find someone that your marital conviction will jam. The fact that you're not convinced about so many suitors coming your way, does it make you selective or something to worry about? You are not convinced because you've not taken time to pray about it. So I tell you what to do. Many students, I believe it's a lady asking this question. Many students are coming. Take the matter to any spiritual authority you respect. Listen, not to choose for you. No spiritual authority can choose a wife or a husband for you. But they are to guide you to pray, and then you pray. There is no way you will pray and still be confused. You might pray for 1 day and still be confused. You might pray for 3 days and still be confused. But if you probe a matter consistently for 3 months, you cannot be confused about it. So the structure we run here, when I give you prayer time, I always give you, if you're praying for a relationship here, I make you pray 1 hour every day for months. You will not be confused, don't worry. Because prayer has a way of clearing confusions. I get the point. And so, instead of being, you know, coming into the fight, because sometimes it can really be hard, especially when there are 2 suitors or 3 suitors, 4 suitors, and sometimes they are good. You know, it should be easy if one is an unbeliever, the other one is a believer. You already know they want to choose. Well, this time, 4 of them are believers. 4 of them are tongue-talking. 4 of them have money. Do you understand the point? 4 of them are even caring. One bought you a shoe, the other one bought you a handbag. So which one are you going to choose? The one that bought you. So that's where you really have to pray. So just pray. Take time and really pray. A believer should never downplay the place and the power of prayer in relationships. Remember I said that in the morning. Normalize saying, I'm praying about it. Remember that in the morning? Normalize it. And when you say it, really mean it. Normalize saying, well, let me pray about it. Before you even begin to pray about it, already run the check. For instance, if the person is not born again, off. The person is not a serious Christian, off. By the time you strike off, you might have like 2 or so, or you might have 1 that you now begin to pray about. Because there are things you don't pray about if they're already clearly spelled out in the Word of God. For instance, the Bible said you should not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. Don't pray about that one. The Bible said you should not, it said evil communication corrupts good manners. There are things you don't just pray about. But there are, by the time you strike off everything the Bible has said concerning the matter, you can now begin to pray about it. Do you have other questions? I'll just take this and that'll be it. Have you been blessed today? Praise God. Was this worth it? What are your thoughts on surrogacy? I have no thoughts. It's just one of the ways that children come into this world. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't know why you guys are making a fuss out of anything. Surrogacy is just one of those ways people give birth to. There's nothing wrong with it. I told you in the morning, if you're here in the morning, science is advancing and God is happy that science is advancing. I get the point. So that's not, I don't know, it's not even topic. Can I divorce my partner on the ground of cheating? Maybe it just happened once. Divorce is a strong word if you guys are married. And this is a singles class. I'm not going to address that matter. Okay? Because divorce, if you're not married already and you're thinking of divorce if the person cheats. So, I'm not going to answer it. Okay? Now, if you are asking whether you can break up a relationship with the person cheats, we can talk. But divorce is a strong word. A strong word. Marriage is stronger than most of you think. Please, sir, what are your thoughts on a man who is committed to you but talks and likes other people? Glory to God. That's beautiful, man. God is faithful. So he's committed to you. What we need to question, because I like how you ask this question, right? If I read right, the person quoted the committed. Yes, yes. Very wise lady. Because that commitment should be quoted. Do you understand? Talks to and likes other people is not commitment. I'm not saying that when you are in a relationship, the boy cannot talk to another person. That's not what I'm saying. But talks to, the way you sound, it looks like they are really talking with other people and you know that he likes them. Let me even tell you, brothers. Please, let me just help you. Stop all this nonsense now. What's all this one? If you are talking to a sister, if you are not yet sure, make it very clear so that we can just be friends. Once you've committed, keep to it. Be faithful. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. So sister, my counsel to you is that you have a conversation with him about it. And then talk to your spiritual leaders and all of that about it. If the person is not willing to change, because you might actually talk to him and you find out that he's not committed to you. He will say, no, are you really overthinking this thing we are doing? No, that is not in the fact. I even have a girlfriend, so he might be overthinking things. So talk and ask him what's happening. And then if that thing continues, end that thing people are doing. There's no commitment. And let me say this to ladies and guys. There is no commitment in relationship if it is not yet, if it's not yet verbalized. If a guy has not said to you, please, I love you. No, I love you enough. I want to be in a relationship, serious one with you. Don't assume anything. Nothing is happening. And sister and brother, if a girl has not, girls, kachemenka, if a lady has not said yes, you are not in a relationship. If she says, let's pray about it. I like you, Sha. It's not to let them tell you yes. That's where commitment starts. They say, I love you. Say, thank you. Do you understand? So I want us to be in a serious relationship. You say, okay, let's see how it goes. Let's see how it goes. It's not an answer. And brother, please get yourself out of that. Let's see how it goes. Because some ladies can be touched. Her head can touch. She can say, let's see how it goes. And you are there seeing how it goes. Then if you ever talk to another person, she'll say, you led me on. So let's see how it goes. After 3 weeks, ask the person, how is it going? So that I can give you a clear answer that you know what to do. Were you blessed today? Were you blessed? God will give us a victorious relationship. Amen. Some of you, I want to believe that this will be your last singles connect. Yeah, and if you really believe God for that, God will do it. Not because you are going to die, but because by the next one you'll be married. Do you believe that? And some of you, by your next singles connect, you know, some things you are saying that you can't relate because there is nobody in your life. But by the next one, you can be able to relate. God will establish you. In the name of Jesus. Was this refreshing? One last thing before we go. Stand to your feet. They gave you a number when you registered. They gave you a number? What's your number? We have 10 more minutes to be out of here. But we're going to use that 10 minutes. Well, I want us to be out of here by 10 minutes time. So we're going to get into groups with our numbers. The first thing you do when you get into groups is, once you get into, that's number one. Number one to what do we have? Number one to 10. You get into the groups from 1 to 10. So all number 10 meet together. And I want you guys to talk. Listen. Introduce yourselves. Get to know the person. This is going to be very short. Get to know the people. Get contacts if you need to. Then after that, you have the first 3 minutes to do that. Then we have a simple assignment for you. A puzzle we are going to give you. And you guys are going to solve the puzzle together as a group. Is that okay? Is that okay? So locate yourself. After that, we'll take our closing charge. I want to see the group that will come first. So don't give them the puzzle yet. Let's get into the groups. Number one, this way. Number two, that way. Just get into the groups very quickly. Okay, let me use the ministers. What's your number, Emmanuel? If you're number six, meet Minister Emmanuel. What's your number? Number seven, meet Ozioma. Number four, meet Mr. Joy. Number nine, Mr. Lovett. Number seven. So if you're there, just, you guys should spread out. Who is number one? Okay, MJ is number one. So get in those groups. Do this seriously. There's a reason we are doing this. If you're number two, meet Brochi Bike here. Number two. Some of you already know yourself too much. Where's number five? Number five, Emmanuel is here. Okay, just move that way. Number five, meet bro, Emmanuel of Ojebe. Are we done? Now, quickly introduce yourselves. Make sure you're in a group at least. Let me number. Join any group. Number two. Number seven, meet Mr. Rose. So quickly introduce yourselves. You can sit if you want to sit. If there's a seat around you, you guys can sit. Make a new friend today. That's what we want to do. Number three. Where's number three? Number three there. There are even plenty. Where's number 10? Number 10, okay. Minister Meso. Number 2, they are here. So fine. Where are the puzzles? Let's walk. Are you too many boys are in this group? What's up? Okay. 1, 2, 3. Okay, them. You can get a seat if you want to. It's because we're going to look at a puzzle very quickly. Where is maybe Felix or someone? Or Evans? And so introduce yourself, get to know yourself, then pass the puzzles to them immediately. So that. She's the remiss number what? Some groups are quite big. So, where are the puzzles? Don't worry, just give. Continue with your group. Yes. So the first group to get 20 words. Twenty is what I want. Twenty-one. I feel bad, but okay. That group is correct. So congratulations, you have a win already. What are you saying? Okay. So, get numbers from your group. Get to talk with them. Get their numbers. Connect with them. It's a lie. Ah. Second. Glory to God. Was this fun? Second. Okay, put up our closing charge on the screen. You can say something nice to someone once we close. Keep interacting. Get our closing charge on the screen. So, hope you have your friend, your group contact. Get your friends with them and then, so that after now, you can keep talking. Who knows? Business contacts will be formed and other things. Was this edition a blessing to you? Did you learn something? Are you going home blessed? Refreshed? It gets better and better and better. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Let's declare together all over this place.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.